Roku. You know what's wonderful about when you teach this class? Y'all are so happy from the last class that you may hear something I'm saying tonight, so we're going to ask the Lord to help me. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for all the privileges that we have being sons and daughters. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the cross. Hallelujah. We thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. And most of all, Father, we thank you once again for our apostle, Apostle Thompson. The reason that you established the school was so that we can understand how to function as we see him functioning in that anointing. We watch it come upon him. All of our lives are blessed. All of our lives are advancing because of the call that's upon his life, because of the price that he has paid. And so, Father, we just thank you for that. And we ask you right now, precious Holy Spirit, you are the true teacher. We cannot take any glory. You are the true teacher. Except you teach us, we cannot be taught. So, Holy Spirit, word my mouth, infuse my mind with your thoughts, and cause the students here and over the internet to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm not going to ask that everybody do their homework assignment, which is read 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Okay, so I'm not going to take a show of hands, but I'm going to just have faith that all of you are able to accomplish that. All right? But this class, once again, is moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. Actually, this class, all of these classes are, as you can tell, interconnected. Because, you know, as God has called the apostle, to the apostolic, we can see that everything we're doing is supernatural. This is about the supernatural. This is about no flesh glorying in God's sight. All right? Y'all with me? This is supernatural. And the gifts of the Spirit is not a toy. And they're not show-offs. You know, the gifts of the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, there is no supernatural. There is no functioning in the supernatural. So I want you to pay attention in class and really desire spiritual gifts. I want all of you to desire spiritual gifts. Because without a desire, without an expectation, you won't be able to flow and function in them. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We'll read the first couple of verses, and then we'll begin to look into the book. Moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you what? To be ignorant. Now, spiritual gifts, the Amplified Translation talks about an endowment, you know, an enablement. See, these are enablements or endowments. Watch this. That qualify and set men and women of God apart, not only to stand in certain offices, such as the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, but also for every individual believer that God places into the body of Christ. All of us have access to the Holy Spirit and his gifts. You listening to me?
Yes,
even though those gifts are imparted to different ones to stand in certain offices so you can distinguish certain offices. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Certain endowments separate. An apostle is not a prophet. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't say a man couldn't stand in them. We know Apostle Thompson stands in the office of an apostle, a prophet, and a pastor. As a matter of fact, if I can just be truthful with you, when a man of God really gets connected properly, he can flow in all of those. Now, I know, see, we're too title-oriented. But, you know, the label doesn't define the contents. It's the contents that defines the label. What am I saying? Calling yourself an apostle don't make you one. You must have proof. You know, the signs, the evidence of an apostle must be evident in your life before you get a card. Anybody can go to www.becomeanapostle.com and get one. but you're not going to function in God's. You're not going to function in God's. You know, you're not going to have no evidence. You're not going to have no proof. And too many people's lives are being wrecked and ruined. So Paul said, now concerning spiritual gifts, these endowments, I don't want you to be ignorant. You know, ignorance is not bliss. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons we don't see the church functioning in the gifts of the Spirit. When is the last time you saw somebody really functioning in the gifts? All right, now y'all know there are nine gifts of the Spirit, right? Nine gifts are nine manifestations of the one Holy Spirit. You have the three speaking gifts. You have the three power gifts and the three gifts that reveal something. Are y'all with me? The three speaking gifts. Divers kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Y'all got it? What are the three speaking gifts? Divers kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Okay? The power gifts. Power gifts are gifts of healing, working of miracles, and special faith. Special faith. That's not ordinary faith. Special faith is when you're standing in a lion's den and the lion is hungry and you're not fearful because they have something keeping you. Are you with me? Mountain moving faith. It's actually when your senses become so suspended, you're so in contact and so in tune with God, somebody can tell you you're dying tomorrow and you don't pay them no attention. Y'all understand? You're able to believe beyond your normal self. That's supernatural. These gifts are supernatural. So you have gifts of healing, working of miracles, and special faith. Then you have the gifts that reveal something. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Okay? So now, the gifts that reveal something, that means God knows everything about us. And to really bring this class into its proper perspective, the Lord Jesus Christ himself functioned in all of these gifts. So when you saw certain things happen, it just didn't happen just because he was Jesus. Turn to Acts 10:38 so you can understand where we're going, moving in the gifts of revelation and prophecy. It says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. So he was anointed. So that means he functioned as a man. See, we know he was God come in the flesh, right? We know that. Come on, we have people a little seasoned, huh? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, huh? Then we get down to verse 14 and saying the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Well, God became a man. The incarnate Word. God took on flesh and became a man. But he did not function in the earth realm as God. He functioned in the earth realm as a man anointed by God. So if he functioned in the earth realm as a man anointed by God, then that means all of us who are men and women, if we are anointed by God, we can begin to function even as God did in the earth realm. Are y'all with me? Okay. So, now concerning spiritual gifts, I would not have you to be ignorant. Then it goes down and say, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God call it Jesus accursed, and no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the what? Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, differences. They are not all the same. But watch this. They have one common purpose. In St. John, oh, there's so much to read. Just read the Bible, please. It's easy to teach people when they, because y'all understand you have a limited amount of time. If I go to all these scriptures, we'll never get to where we have to go. But Jesus in St. John chapter number 16, he began to talk about the Holy Spirit. He says, expedient for you, I go away. For if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come unto you. And when he's come, he's going to show you all things that's yours. Everything that's available to you. So we need to have this insight that it's only one Holy Spirit, but different manifestation, different diversity. It's different, but it's to bring unity, and it's also to point you to God. You with me? Okay. Now, there, it said, now there are differences or diversities of gifts or endowments, but the same Spirit. Then it goes on to say, and there are differences of what? Administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities or differences of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. Now, that's so important, because we are used to Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But see, in order of revelation, when God began to deal with man in the old covenant, you really hear about the Father. Is that right? It said God created all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's a uniplural noun, God, Elohim, meaning Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But primarily under the old covenant, we're more acquainted with the Father speaking. Is that right? The Holy Spirit was also present under the in the Old Testament, because the Bible says the Spirit of God brooded over the face of the waters, and nothing happened until God spoke. There's the Trinity right there. God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Rhema Word. Right? All right. So you have them all working in conjunction. See, it's only one God. Three separate and distinct personalities. So now watch this. We have gifts, same Spirit. Administration, same Lord. So we go talk about the Holy Spirit, now the Lord Jesus Christ, and all of it comes together because of operations, the inner working of God in our lives. All right, now y'all know what an administration is, huh? Right now, you know, we got all this. We're up under in the United States of America. You know, it doesn't matter if you're white, black, or polka dot, even if you didn't vote for him. He is your president. Is that right? It's his administration. The reason why there's so much confusion in America is because we don't understand how to flow with administration. You understand? You don't get the vote on which way we're going. Some of y'all kind of coming, huh? All right. Under the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is his administration. He is the one who's building the church. It's the Holy Spirit who's carrying out every order that the Father gave the Son. Y'all with me? Yes, sir. Now, I want you to understand this, because you see, when you read the Bible, people be trying to separate them, but they function as one. It was God who was in Christ, reconciling the world back to himself. It was the inner working of God, working in the Lord Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Y'all follow what I'm saying? That's how so much was accomplished. So, diversities of gifts, diversities of administrations, and diversities of operations, but it all comes from one God. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now let's see if we can go further. It talks about in the book, Moving in the Gifts of Revelation and Prophecy, in the preface and in chapter number one, it talks about the prophetic flow. The prophetic flow is the focus of many desiring believers. See? Because why? We want to function in the supernatural. See, the prophetic flow is about functioning in the supernatural, flowing with the Holy Ghost. And there is a great craving in our generation for what? The supernatural. That's why people are not coming to church. I wouldn't want to go to some of the church either. Same week, nothing happened. But may I tell you, where the prophetic flow is, things are happening. And the reason we want to begin with the prophetic flow is because in the prophetic flow is where all of the other gifts are properly released. It begins with the prophetic flow. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 so I can begin to also lay a foundation. Now, this prophetic flow which leads us into the supernatural, you will hear Apostle Thompson say things like this. You must be escorted into the spirit realm. You can't go by yourself. You can't go into the spirit world as a natural being. You get your butt kicked. That's the seven sons of Sceva. Who said, all right, I'm going to cast you out, devil, by who? Paul. Wait. What's the name, Paul? Jesus? Okay, I'm going to use that name. Well, you see, in the natural, he saw things happen, but he wasn't authorized. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So the devil, pay attention, the devil said, Jesus I know. And Paul I know. Now that's supernatural. Jesus I know, and Paul I know. But watch this. But who in hell are you? In other words, what he was saying is, hell don't even recognize who you are. But because Paul, an apostle, a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, you understand? By reason of his assignment and his connection, the enemy know who he is. And the enemy recognize him. Y'all ready for this? The same way he recognizes Apostle Thompson. Don't get it twisted. Your connection means something. Paul was connected to Jesus. Now, come on, let's be real. I know who Jesus is, but I also know who my connection is. And if you know who your connection is, what you see him functioning in is available to all of us, because in this apostolic move, all of us can carry the anointing of an apostle. That's why all the superstars gonna disappear. They're gonna be talking, and the rest of us going to be walking. Y'all got it? So in 1 Corinthians 14, now we're talking about the prophetic flow. See, what is the prophetic? Because, you know, you hear a lot of people using terminology. First of all, understand this. Prophecy is nothing to play with. Y'all know, and people think because they prophesy, they're a prophet. No, you're not a prophet. Just because you prophesy. God wants all of his children to function in prophecy. But that doesn't necessarily qualify you to be a prophet. What is prophecy? Prophecy is when you receive a divine utterance from God. That's what real prophecy is. Real prophecy is what God said. What God is saying. So whenever somebody tells you, and if you read the Bible, you always hear prophets use this phrase, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying. Is that right? Huh? Or the word of the Lord came unto me in a vision. How many of y'all knew Abraham was a prophet? Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to him in a vision. Abraham was a prophet. I don't know why people don't read the Bible. He was a prophet of God. Prophets bring prosperity. Are y'all with me? Somebody looking like, wow. So it's important to understand that prophecy is a divine utterance that comes from God. It's the word of the Lord. It cannot be changed once God speaks. So the Bible says in 1 Peter, I believe, chapter 1, verse 20, you might want to check it out. It might be 2 Peter, but it might be 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Turn to it, because you know you go home and say, Pastor Gabriel, here, the man, Dr. Walker, whatever his name is, he gave us the wrong scripture. So come on, help out. My help is not here. We want
a lot of times
minutes ago. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 20. What does it say? There you go. Okay. That's 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Okay. Now, read it. What does it say? Knowing this first. Come on. That no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. No prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Prophecy of the scripture. The scripture is that which is written, which cannot be broken. The scripture which is written, which cannot be broken, is only testifying of one person, the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You can quote all the scripture you want, but if the scripture isn't revealing Christ to you, you don't get to the glory. Y'all with me now?
Yes, sir.
All right. So no prophecy of the scripture, prophecy, foretelling, speaking forth of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Right? Nobody sat in their own intellect and got this. This came from God. Are you with me? Read the Bible. Read. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. So man had nothing to do. Y'all understand what I'm saying? With the scripture. You understand that? So if they tell you a white man wrote it or a black man wrote it, you had to be a fool to believe a man wrote this Bible. Because I don't know no man going to write, I just going to have one girlfriend. That's okay, y'all too saved. I'm going to go over here. Because, you know, we come in class and we want all saved. Could you imagine a heathen wrote this Bible? Come on now, y'all men going to let me hang out here? You know good and well, if a man wrote this, he would have said, I can marry who I want. I can have 500 at one time, and that's a wrap.